Okay, coming up next, my interview with the Poet Laureate of the United States, also was a professor here in poetry at the University of Tennessee for a period, Joy Harjo. We talk about her new recording, and you'll hear all about that now.
We were running out of breath as we ran to meet ourselves. We were surfacing the edge of our ancestors' fights and ready to strike. It was difficult to lose days in the Indian bar if you were straight. Easy if you played pool and drank to remember to forget.
You're listening to Improvisations. I'm Todd Steed. We're talking with Joy Harjo, who has a brand new record out that is really one of the, to me, one of the coolest things you've done because it's just so rich. And it's called I Pray for My Enemies. Joy, you've done records in the past. It's been a while. What got you back into the music side of things?
Well, I never really left it, but I've been kind of going along doing, you know, playing and recording on my own and going out and playing now and then. But I had a job at UTK for a while. That took up a lot of time, and I had projects and so on. But I've been recording notes and making notes for these songs for all that time. So finally, this summer, I got a call from Barrett Martin, who I've known. We play together once in a while in New Mexico. I brought him up for a gig to play, and so I've known him for about 20 years. And he said, he's always wanted to record an album for me. He says, you know, I owe you an album, you know. So he called up this summer in the middle of the pandemic and says, I have a week here. You can come up. We can do foundation tracks. You can bring your tunes up here. And then we can finish it. We'll come down there later and finish it in Tulsa. So my husband and I drove up there and with our little, it's like an RV camper. And made our way across the country through pandemic craziness and started the recording. And so, yeah, now you have, you know, the music. Yeah.
And I think he did just an incredible job of on the arranging production side of the music and creating this great sort of atmosphere that you can, you know, perform over or with or to. You've got like Peter Buck on there and Chris from Nirvana. And I mean, what did you think about the music when you heard it? Did it change some of your approaches to some of the tunes?
Well, some of it, yeah, because we worked together. I mean, some of it, I came in with a lot of the songs already, you know, I had the songs, but Barrett was great in the atmospheric, you know, helping create the atmospheric thing. And then he brought his buddies in. You know, his buddies and guitarian, because we talked about it. I had arrangements in mind, and then I would rearrange things as we went along and bring in voices and think, well, this might be good here. So, I think it came together really well. And I remember thinking, well, these guitar players are great. I think they added a lot. They added a lot to it. It's a whole different, I wouldn't have thought about it. I could have done it, you know, it could have, but they, I don't know. I think it all came together pretty well, and it gave me space to play. Yeah. It gave me good space to play music, to play saxophone on.
Yeah. And that brings me to one of my favorite tracks is Rabbit Invents the Saxophone. I think that one's just wonderful. Tell me about that, that piece.
Well, yeah, that's my favorite, 'cause I got to play on it, but it's Rabbit in our Muscogee Creek tradition and in West African tradition is the trickster figure, like coyote for some people and so on. And so I always figure, well, I know Adolf Sax invented the saxophone, and it became a kind of trickster instrument. People hated it. I remember he was vilified in the French press for inventing the saxophone, and it was caricatured as a, you know, like an instrument that could kill people. You know, it was, you know, he died penniless, and yet the saxophone is, I think it's a marvelous instrument. I didn't start playing till I was almost 40. And I've always loved those trickster stories with Rabbit. And I thought, of course, if there was any inventor, I mean, certainly Adolph Rabbit, I like the idea of thinking of Rabbit inventing the saxophone down in New Orleans. So I worked from there.
When one of the last trails of tears wound through New Orleans, Rabbit, that ragged trickster, decided he wanted to be a musician. He was tired of walking, and they had all the fun. They got all the women. Fans gave them smokes, drinks, and he could have all kinds of new friends to do his bidding. But Rabbit hadn't proved to be musical. When he led at stomp dance, no one would follow. No shell shaker would shake shells for him. He was never invited to lead, even when the young ones were called up to practice. The first thing a musician needs is a band, he said to his friends. The hottest new music was being made at Congo Square. So many tribes are jamming there, African, Native, Cuban, and a few remnant French, making a new music of melody, love, and beat. Rabbit climbed up to the stage but had nothing to offer. Just his strut, charming banner, and what looked like a long stick down the tight leg of his pants. Musicians, our musicians, no trick will get by. You either have it or want it. Nothing else will fly. Do you know any songs? What can you play? Can you sing? Do you have a piano, tuba, or strings? Musicians began vamping. What can this rabbit cat do? Is he gonna blow hot air or fart in the rain? Rabbit turned his back to the band like that genius Miles Davis. Pulled out his stick, he made a horn with his hands. This stick is so special, bragged Rabbit as he turned back to the jam. No one else has one like this. You've never heard it before. It's called a sax, phone. Rabbit's newborn horn made a rip in the sky. It made old women dance and girls fall to their knees. It made singers of tricksters. It made tricksters of players. It made trouble wherever it sang after that. Last time we heard Rabbit was for my cousin's run for chief. There was a huge feed. Everyone showed up to eat. Rabbit's band got down after the speeches. We danced through the night and nobody fought. Nor did anyone show up the next day to vote. They were sleeping.
It's just a great piece, and there's so many of the pieces on this record that surprise me in some way or another, because some of the poems I'm familiar with, but I just, you know, hearing them with music, or hearing your compositions, you know, some of them for the first time, it adds a whole nother layer, like on Fear, for example, which you apparently weren't 100% sure you were going to use on this album. How did Fear end up on there?
Well, see what happens when I do an album, I usually do 10 tunes. And Barrett usually does like 20 on his. So we're in there and he says, I said, I thought about, he said, we should add some more. And I said, well, I have these. We could do these and put music around them, but I don't know. I said, we could do Fear given the times we've been in, you know, in the last years. And I said, and there's a lot of younger audience that don't know that song. So I did it. I put it on two other albums, actually. The first time was on Letter from the End of the 20th Century when I had the band Joy Harjo and Poetic Justice. And then the next time was on the Native Joy for Real album, my solo album that I did with a hip hop producer, but it's not hip hop. And I thought, well, there's a whole new audience. And of course I do it in it's in a little bit different way, but I liked what Peter Buck did on there. You know, the atmospheric thing he did on guitar there too, for real.
I release you, my beautiful and terrible fear. I release you. You were my beloved and hated twin, but now I don't know you as myself. I release you with all the pain I would know at the death of my children. You are not my blood anymore. I give you back to the soldiers who burned down my home, beheaded my children. I give you back to those who stole the food from our plates when we were starving. I release you, fear, because you hold these scenes in front of me and I was born with eyes that can never close. I release you. I release you. I release you. I release you. I am not afraid to be angry. I am not afraid to rejoice. I am not afraid to be black. I am not afraid to be white. I am not afraid to be hungry. I am not afraid to be full. I am not afraid to be hated. I am not afraid to be loved. Choked me, but I gave you the leash. You have gutted me, but I gave you the knife. You have devoured me, but I laid myself across the fire. I take myself back, fear. You are not my shadow any longer. Hold you in my hands. You can't live in my eyes, my ears, my voice, my belly, or in my heart. My heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart. Come here, fear. I am alive. I'm so afraid of dying. I release you. I release you. I release you. I release you.
Another great one is Midnight is a Horn Player. It's so evocative. I just feel like I'm there in this scene. Matter of fact, I think I've been there before.
Yeah. It's, you know, when I lived in Denver a couple of years, and that's where I started really, I always loved jazz, but I hung out in the jazz clubs there. That was my, and I would be there. I'd hang out with the musicians. I always I love storytelling and the storytelling that goes on like after the gig and everybody's hanging out, or it's early in the morning and everybody's getting breakfast. And I like hearing all of those kinds of stories. So it kind of came out of that, that it was a little piece that I put in a book, Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings, but it's, I think of them as riffs. So it was a little voice, a little word riff that I had in that collection in between poems. And I always wanted to put together a jazz tune with it. So that's how that came about.
Midnight is a horn player, warmed up tight for the last set. One AM is a drummer who knows how to lay it sweet. 2 AM is a guitar player who is down on his luck. 3 AM is a bass player walking the floor crazy for you. 5 AM is kept for the birds. 6 AM is the cleaning crew smoking cigarettes while they wait for the door to open. 7 AM, we're having breakfast at the diner that never closes. AM and we shut it down though the clock keeps running all through the town.
Yeah, I love that. I love that period after the gig. There's something about it where I don't know. I just feel personally like after playing like a really good one, you sort of exercise some sort of demons or something out, you know, or
yeah,
angst or something that may be in there. And then everybody just seems a little more free, you know, mm-hmm, after they've played. Do you write in that period, like late night or after performances or things like that?
Usually after a really cool performance, you just kind of want to hang out, but because you're up. It's so different virtually, though. I mean, the whole vibe virtually is just, it is so different. It kind of, I'm going to say, takes energy. You can still like try to get to where I can feel it, but I haven't done a music concert virtually. I won't do that at this point because it doesn't sound good. I don't have the setup yet to. I will pre-record. I did a band thing recently. I did a keynote for Associated Writing Programs and brought in a bass player, Nathan Eicher, and Jack Wolf, a keyboard player in town. But I thought, we're going to do this. We did it live. We did it, had it taped live and then put it on. Anyway, I love that energy of playing, and I think we all miss that. We've all missed that during this pandemic of being together and just playing music.
Yeah, it's it I definitely feel something missing in my life, you know, and I didn't realize how important the live music experience, or even the live experience with other people, yeah. You know, how important it is.
Yeah, that's what's come to me during this time, is how much we need concerts, we need music, we need just seeing each other and hanging out and the physical presence. There's something that's so human about that.
Yeah, and it can't be replicated with machines, though I guess they do their job. I Pray for My Enemies is the title track. This is also, I think it makes it like a perfect closer for the recording. Tell me about your feelings on this piece.
Yeah, that piece too. I like the way that it came out, you know, with the voices and then getting to play on that.
This morning I pray for my enemies. And whom do I call my enemy? An enemy must be worthy of engagement. I turn in the direction of the sun and keep walking. It's the heart that asks the question, not my furious mind. The heart is the smaller cousin of the sun. It sees and knows everything. It hears the gnashing, even as it hears the blessing. The door to the mind should only open from the heart. An enemy who gets in risks the danger of becoming a friend.
And you have some of your family on this record too, right? Your stepdaughter,
yeah,
your husband. Yeah,
Stomp All Night. Yeah, I have two stepdaughters who, I like that Stomp All Night too, which is, you know, that we have what are called social dances. We have ceremonial stomp dance and then we have social dances, and it's based on that kind of form.
I can't wait to, you know, like to get out and see live music again. And when I was listening to this recording, one of the first things I thought of is like, how great would it be to be at a performance of this kind of material live? Because it's so, well, first of all, it's so varied. Like the pieces are very different from each other in so many different ways, in tone and sound. And sometimes you're singing, sometimes you're reciting, sometimes you're somewhere in the middle. You know,
yeah, that's true. I like that, somewhere in the middle, and that's true.
Yeah. Will we get a chance to see some of this live at any point?
I would love that. The only live thing I was going to do from it, we just moved it to May because I'm so scheduled so heavily right now, was for Kane's Ballroom, that historic ballroom here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that my parents courted at. You know, it's up the street. I live next door right now to the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame, and then up the street from Kane's Ballroom. So, you know, Tulsa is quite a musical history. But yeah, we might even be able to pull some of that band together for the final performance, for the final Poet Laureate event that will be held the last week of April in 2022. But up to then, I'm sure once this opens up, once the COVID opens. One thing that I found talking, I pulled together a local band to play tunes off the album for that Kane's Ballroom podcast, which is we've postponed until May, is that, and I hadn't thought of this, one of the people who plays locally said that what's happening is that if they do schedule, because some of the bars and are opening up, some of the places that have live music are opening up, they're saying, well, we don't want to pay you as much. And of course, musicians weren't being paid that much to begin with. And it hasn't changed through the years much in those venues. They said they want to pay them less because they don't have as much. They can't fit as many people into the club. And that's just, I understand they're trying, these businesses have been hit hard, but I think so have musicians.
Yeah,
So
and
we really, yeah, it's that's it's been a hard one, and
they're taking a lot of the brunt of it.
yes,
Yeah.
yeah.
Joy Harjo, thanks so much. The new record's called I Pray for My Enemies, and it's really something very special. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk.
Yeah, thank you so much.
They know how to stomp up all night, cook all day. Give it to the brothers, they know how to sing in the circle all day, up all night. Round dance, chicken scratch, 49 and stomp. Bury my heart at Horseshoe Bend. We pay for light, we pay for water. Next thing you know.